I don't know that if you've noticed, but we've been in John 6 for weeks. So I've been trying to think about different things to emphasize and to talk about as Jesus talks about himself as the bread of heaven. This morning he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. In a way, it's a comfort to know that these words of Jesus were difficult to understand from the very beginning. How can this man give his flesh to eat, they ask. And I love Jesus' response. Rather than simplifying their understanding or clarifying, he seems to complicate their understanding and make matters even more mysterious. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. 2,000 years later, these words still confound us and create disputes among us, particularly among seminary students. The question is put this way many times over: is John chapter 6 sacramental? Is it referring to spiritual eating and drinking as a metaphor for receiving Jesus by faith? Or is it referring to Holy Communion? This approach to Jesus' words can lead to endless arguments about things such as cannibalism, distinctions between body and flesh, can lead to discussions about what spiritual eating is, the nature and necessity of Holy Communion for salvation. Big 75-cent words like transubstantiation, consubstantiation. You probably get the point. But I think we should remember what St. Paul says. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, remind everyone and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins its hearers. When Jesus offered himself as true body and true drink, true food and true drink, they instead disputed amongst themselves, quarreling about these words. And when our conversations are about winning these theological arguments, all it does is tear people down. It ruins those who listen, Paul says, because the goal is to win so that one side can say to the other, I am right, you are wrong. I'm certainly not advocating an anti-intellectual Christianity. We should never check our brains at the door when we come to church. We are to be discerning, wise, and teachable. These are things each of us may feel strongly about. And it's not a bad thing to feel strongly about our opinions, but demanding that everyone else agree with our finer points of doctrine, that is not okay. Creating discord and confusion is not healthy or helpful. And yet that's exactly where Jesus' words lead these hearers. And pride is a sneaky thing and a pernicious thing. We do harm to ourselves and others when we lose sight of what being a believer and follower of Jesus is all about. I believe that Jesus is complicating matters because he is asking the same question he often asks, which is, who do you say that I am? When we talk about other Christians and other Christian traditions with contempt, we're not only judging a child of God, We are ruining them and those who listen. We're not building up the body of Christ, but tearing it down. What Jesus wants his hearers to discover through his words about being the flesh and blood of the world is to discover and to embark on a journey of discovery of greater truth and greater mystery of who Jesus is. Sometimes a bigger picture is a clearer picture. As the cliche goes, we don't see the forest through the trees. Sometimes we don't even know the ground upon which we are standing. Archaeologists will dig in the mud, they'll sift through sand and dirt for hours and hours and days, explore caves. They look for signs of civilization. They may find small artifacts if they're lucky, but even that can take years. But Sarah Parcak from the University of Alabama has a different approach. She looks from space, from 400 miles up, away from us, away from the surface of the earth, using satellite cameras. She has been able to discover, through this great distance, lost rivers, lost roads, and lost cities. Just this summer, just weeks ago, it has been so dry in Wales, in the United Kingdom, that farms are revealing secrets that have been hidden for hundreds and hundreds of years by these satellite photos. Because of the different shades of green grass and brown grass, you can see the footprint of castles, moats, homes, roads that have been hidden for nearly 1,000 years. This is the effect, I believe, that Jesus is trying to have on his hearers. Not to ask ourselves, what does he mean, but what effect does he want to have on them and on us? I think it is to take a step back. This is what I'm doing for you in the world, Jesus says. It's very simple, but yet very profound. I'm giving myself. All you need to do is to receive. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, Jesus says, and I will raise them on the last day. I am the living bread, he says. Those who eat this bread will live forever. Jesus is wanting to push us out and back so that we can see and have a more objective view of who he is as the one who gives himself as a gift. He wants us to be, in the very truest sense of the word, his consumers. He wants us to enter into a relationship with him, to abide in him and with him, just as he does in us and with us. He wants to enrich our lives. He wants us to grow in strength and wisdom. And he wants us to have the assurance of eternal life. It's really that simple. Yes, we can spend decades and centuries arguing over the finer points of this doctrine, but let's get this satellite image into our heads of the whole world receiving the gift of Jesus through everything he has made. This is the big picture. Jesus gives us himself. Flesh and blood. Being born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus gives himself flesh and blood in his teaching, in his healing, in his spreading the good news. Jesus gives his flesh and his blood on the cross of Calvary for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus gives his flesh and his blood as he exits the empty tomb, rising from the dead to assure us of our victory over death and the grave. We receive Christ this morning through the hearing of the Word of God, which has been read and preached today. We receive it by faith. It's not earned. It's not deserved, which is to simply emphasize that it is a gift. We receive Christ through the bread and the wine, His flesh and His blood, in Holy Communion. We enter this mystery over and over again. And yes, it should confound us, but it should fill us with wonder and love and gratitude as we abide in Christ. Every time we eat, drink, hear, and pray to Jesus. This should not cause a dispute among us. It should put wonder and mystery into our minds, thanksgiving into our hearts, and praise on our lips. It should bind us together into Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.